We ready for the word?
Yes.
I'm ready for the word. I'm excited about what's coming today. I'm even more excited because Pete, that was an excellent communion. Give Pete a hand for his communion. I just love how the Holy Spirit works, because I mean, I don't tell our communion people what to talk about. The Holy Spirit does that. But what I'm going to share today really lines up with serving and going into our week with purpose. And so, are you ready? Everyone say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
All right, you convinced me. So I'm starting a new series, and this is going to go, I don't know, for a while, because I'm going to speak into the heartbeat of our church. And you might know there's a little different flavor around what I'm sharing, but it really isn't any different to what Jesus called us to do. What did Jesus say? What was his last command? Go into all the world and make disciples. So what I'm going to be talking about, what I'm going to be bringing over this next season is a series of messages that's all about being made for Mondays. And you've talked about Monday. And going, not just Sunday, but we're doing Monday to Saturday. We're being the church. So today we gather, we're here, and we're celebrating Jesus and all his goodness. And hey, I love that. Who loves gathering? As together as the believers, and we do, good, three of you, that's really encouraging. To worship Jesus together and to celebrate the week. And you know, and if things aren't going great, what you can do, you can lean in on each other, get support. We get around you, we help you, Monday to Saturday as well. But what I want to talk to you about is from welcome home to disciple making. So we're not changing. This church will always have a welcome home culture. I think if we went around the room, we could ask people, did you feel welcome when you first came? I think 99% of the time people would say yes, because we've worked really hard at that. That's important, because people can come in broken, disillusioned, feeling like they don't belong, feeling like they've got no place in this world. They could be dressed in ratty clothes or smell, or maybe they smoke, whatever they do. They can walk in that way, and they're loved, and they're valued, and they're appreciated. Amen? Because that's our culture. We don't turn anyone away just because they're not dressed right, or they're not saying the right words, or whatever. We welcome everyone. And then where does the transformation happen? In this place. In the groups that we meet in across the week. Jesus can move in their hearts and change and do whatever he needs to do. But we don't change them. We just love them. Amen? So we're moving from welcome home, that's always going to be part of who we are, but now we're taking a step further, and everyone's going to own this over this season, to disciple making. And we're going to equip you, we're going to encourage you, we're even going to challenge you. Some of us need a bit of a challenge in this space, that we're going to disciple people and bring people to the knowledge of Christ, because we're all about winning souls and making disciples. And then say it with me, winning souls, making disciples. That's what it's all about. So I want to ask you something. What comes to your mind when I say the word Monday? Just think. It's one of those rhetorical questions. It's meant to make you think. I want you to be honest too. What's the first picture in your head when you think about Monday? For some of you, maybe it's the alarm clock blasting at like an ungodly hour. Oh my gosh, it's time to get up and get into the week. Didn't I just close my eyes 5 minutes ago? No, it's time to go. It's Monday. For others, maybe it's your, I don't know, if your work or if you're, everyone's, there's many walks of life in this room and people online and people that will listen to this after the fact. But maybe it's your email inbox somehow grew like weeds over the weekend, and all of a sudden you've got 100 emails you need to check off and delete or get rid of or whatever. And that's before you've even had your morning coffee. But parents, any parents in the room? I've got some parents of kids, and our kids going to school and whatever. You know the drill. School lunches. Woohoo! I'm so glad my kids do distance education and I don't have to do packed lunches anymore. Praise Jesus. Because they eat at home. It's so good. But you're packing school lunches. You're trying to sort out mismatched socks. And the kids who suddenly remember at 8:25 that they've got an assignment that's due today and they haven't done it. You know what I'm talking about. Let's be real. Monday is famous for things that go wrong. Can you relate? Anyone can relate? Everything bad happens on a Monday for whatever reason. Have you ever had a classic Monday moment? Like the kind where you sleep through your alarm, so the alarm blast will be like, and maybe you hit snooze or meant to hit snooze, but you hit stop, and then you're like, gotta get up. Or maybe it's the kind where you've spilled coffee down your shirt, and then you realize the car's running on empty, and we've got no petrol, and this is all before 8:30 a.m. on a Monday. And the worst part, you think, well, this is only Monday, I've still got 4 more days of the week to get through before it's the weekend again. Come on, am I talking to somebody today? Can you relate? I remember one Monday I had back-to-back like Zoom meetings, because you do these on the computer, and I left my laptop charger at home and it was running on like 10% battery, and I'm like, oh! And then I realized my shirt was inside out. Ever had one of those days? Come on, no, or is it just me? Am I the only fool that's ever worn a shirt inside out? Come on, none of you want to admit it. My shirt was inside out, and the scary thing is, on the Zoom call, nobody told me. It was so obvious it was inside out, but nobody said a word. I didn't notice, because I'm in a rush. You know, it's Monday. The world calls it the Monday blues, or maybe you've heard the term Monday-itis, or I don't know. Have you heard those kind of things where, oh my gosh, it's Monday? Sometimes we act like Monday has this built-in curse, that it's just this evil Monday that it just, oh, I wish I could have a three-day weekend. But then, you see, Tuesday would become the Monday, wouldn't it? But anyway, sometimes we act like Monday has this curse, and it makes it the worst day of the week. And here's the good news. If Jesus is Lord of all the days, come on, you believe that?
Yep.
Jesus is Lord of all the days, then Monday can't be cursed. It isn't cursed. In fact, it's actually commissioned. Come on, you believe that?
Amen.
I'm talking to someone this morning. I don't know. This series is called Made for Mondays because your faith was never meant to just to survive on a Sunday. Sundays are the celebration. We come together. We love God. But Mondays are the mission. That's how we've got to see it. Sundays are where we gather. We come together. We celebrate, like I've said, but Mondays are where we scatter and we go into all the world. So today's message is called Mondays Matter to God. So you ready? Come on, say I'm ready.
I'm ready.
I'm looking for responses today because I want these messages are not just fruity little nice, oh, that sounded good, Pastor, good message, and you go home and nothing changes. I want your Monday to Saturday to be revolutionized and transformed. Amen?
Amen?
Because they are our mission field. Your Mondays matter to God. They are important. Your work matters to God. Your study, if you're studying, matters to God. Your home matters to God. Even the most ordinary inside-out shirt kind of days. Please tell me if I ever do that on a Sunday, because that would be just utterly embarrassing. But, well, you know, sometimes... Should I go there? Preachers have their fly down. Yeah. Ben, have you ever done that? No, okay. So just be my friend and tell me, okay? Is that all right? All right, but even in the most ordinary inside-out shirt kind of Monday, there's actually sacred ground when it's surrendered to Jesus. Amen? So here's the question that we're going to wrestle with throughout this series and throughout today's message. What if we stopped enduring Mondays? And understand, when I say Mondays, I'm talking Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, like the weekday, so we're not here and everything's great. But the days, the other days. But I'm talking about Mondays. What if we stopped enduring Mondays and our week, and we actually started embracing them? What would that look like? What if instead of dragging ourselves into the week, oh, it's Monday. What if we stepped into Monday with purpose? What if we knew that God was already there and waiting for us in our Monday? So here's my first point I want to bring today. Moving from divide to divine. See, many people live with this unspoken idea that life is kind of split in two. No one in this church, it's the people in other churches. But on one side, we've got the spiritual stuff, you know, church, prayer, worship, Bible. And then on the other side, we've got the secular stuff like work, bills, mowing lawns, raising kids, answering emails, whatever it is, all of that stuff. And deep down, we think, well, God really cares about the first one, obviously, worshipping him and church and all of those things. But the second one, isn't that just life and we just go through the grind? See, we can fall into this trap of a great divide where Sundays are for God, but Mondays are for the grind. Church is sacred, but your job is like just survival. I need to do that to make money, whatever. But see, the Bible doesn't see this divide. It doesn't exist in the Word of God. In fact, from the very beginning, God makes it really clear. The ordinary is divine when it's done for Him, because it matters. Look at Genesis 2:15. It says, Then the Lord God took the man, put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. It's important to note that this scripture is before the fall. So this is before sin enters the world. Work wasn't actually a curse. Some of us think work's a curse. Work isn't a curse. At this time, it was actually a calling. God said, go and tend and keep it. So it was a calling. Adam didn't preach sermons. He pulled weeds. He didn't lead worship. He trimmed trees. And God looked at it and said, this is good. And then we fast forward to Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. It says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. For you serve the Lord Christ. I know in the Western world we're trained to grow up, get a job, and then your boss is your boss. And you've got to get the boss happy so that you keep your job. And not just that, we need to make the boss happy to get our pay rise or to get our holiday approved. And so we work hard to please the boss. But see, that's the way of the world. We live in an opposite kingdom, amen? The kingdom of God says that we are to do things as unto the Lord. How many of you know when you do that, you're going to please your boss?
Yep.
You understand? Yep. When you live for Jesus and you live to honor him in all that you do, you're going to turn up early. You're going to have a smile on the dial. You're going to put in the best effort that you can in your job. You're going to be a valued employee because you're doing it not to please the boss, but to please him. And when we do that, the boss is going to give you favor. See how it works. So whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Not just the glamorous stuff either, but not just the spiritual stuff. Whatever you do, anything. So I'm talking about changing nappies. How many love changing nappies? I'm so glad they're out of that season too. But anyway, you do it with a good attitude. Even if it is number three, like a big everywhere. Changing the nappies, you do it unto the Lord. Cooking dinner, studying for exams, running a business, fixing pipes, serving customers, whatever it is you're doing. When you do it as unto the Lord, it actually becomes worship unto him. And it's pleasing to him. He loves it. When you do it with the right attitude, God, I'm doing this to honor you. Wow, there's a party going on in heaven. Even in 1 Corinthians 10:31, this is a big scripture with our youth. It's on our hoodies that probably aren't getting worn now. It's a little warmer now. But therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Eating and drinking, we can even do that to please him. Hallelujah. I was on a cruise ship. I did a lot of eating and drinking. No alcohol, by the way, just in case that's slipped into your mind and the enemy's trying to tell you you passed the drink. The most basic everyday acts can glorify God. That means there's no divide. When Jesus is Lord, everything can become divine. Everything that you do becomes divine. And if you're still not convinced of what I'm trying to say to you right now, just look at Jesus. Where did he call his first disciples? It wasn't in a synagogue or a church building structure or a temple or anything like that. He called them at work. Fishermen on their boats, mending their nets, tax collectors sitting at their desk, a woman drawing water at a well. These were ordinary, everyday moments. There wasn't like pads and lights and, oh, it wasn't like that. Jesus just walked up to these people and ministered to them in his Monday week, whatever it was. When Jesus stepped into them, and into their life, the ordinary all of a sudden became extraordinary. See, the workplace became a place of calling, not a place of grind. A water break became a moment of revelation. Wow. A fishing boat became a pulpit. Jesus never separated the sacred from the secular. He brought heaven into the ordinary. So he didn't wait for the big Sunday moment to then call everyone and say, right now, follow me. He just did it in his everyday action and activities. He brought heaven into the ordinary and he turned the grind into divine ground. That's what we're called to do. We don't go into the grind tomorrow. but we step into mission, into divine purpose, what God has for us in our week. It's the same today as Jesus' time. There might be a tradie digging trenches. There might be a nurse on night shift, a mum making lunches, a manager sitting in another meeting. But the world says it's grind, but Jesus is Lord. When Jesus is Lord, every place you set your foot is divine ground. Come on, do you believe that?
Yes.
You've got Jesus in you. Everywhere you walk, you need to be, I said it at the end of last week, atmosphere changes. You should walk into a room and everything shifts. Everything changes. You have the ability to walk into a room where there is utter depression, disappointment, disillusionment, pain, and you can change it like that because of what you carry within. Amen?
Amen.
We don't let the room that we walk into drag us down to that level. And I'm not saying, that can be misconstrued, I'm not saying we're better than them. Not at all. It's not about that. But what we carry is going to make life better for them. We are carriers of Christ in us. And we can walk into rooms and atmospheres can shift in Jesus' name. That's what we're called to do. It's not a grind. We're walking into the divine each and every week. So stop dividing your life, because there's no divide in the Bible. It actually should just be our norm. We shouldn't even need to just work ourselves up to walk into that room. We literally should just walk in and be who we are, and the atmosphere changes because Christ is in us. Because it's just normal for us to expect that. So we've got to stop thinking that church is where God moves. I mean, he moves here, but work is a place where God wants to move to, or whatever your Monday is. See, if Christ is in you, everywhere you go is a sanctuary.
Amen.
Everywhere you go, everywhere you step foot. The devil would love for you to just keep God in a Sunday box. He'd love that. Just come and do Sunday and then go and do the grind. The enemy loves that, because if he can keep your faith locked into a church building, like this is where it happens, he'll keep your Mondays powerless. No problem at all. But when you realize Monday morning is just as sacred as Sunday morning, that's when your life becomes a weapon in God's hands. Come on, who wants to be a weapon? I want to be a weapon for Jesus. So let's stop dividing our lives and let's start inviting God into every part of our life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Here's my second point today. Who you serve, this is where Pete was awesome today. Who you serve is greater than what you do. Always, every time. Who you serve is greater than what you do. We live in a world that constantly measures us by what we do. Think about it. What's the first question people usually ask you when you meet them for the first time? Oh, so what do you do? Am I right?
Yes.
What do you do? Based on your answer, we'll determine how they interact with you probably from that point on, which is sad, but that's just how the world is. If you answer with something that sounds impressive, people nod with respect and go, hey, I need to know you. You're awesome. But if it sounds ordinary, they quickly move on. And Nina and I encountered this on a cruise. We just went, if you don't know, we celebrated 20 years of marriage on the 3rd of September, and that was exciting. And we decided to go on a 7-night cruise and eat way too much food. But we went to this, and we've never done this before, so please don't think we live this lavish, lush lifestyle. But we went to this thing called Chef's Table. It's like a degustation thing. Who's ever done a meal like that? They bring you a whole bunch of little things, all different plates. And there's about, I don't know, I think ours had like a dozen courses. So much food. Like, only little things. But you try and you eat. And you know, we did that. And we don't normally do that sort of thing. That's probably the first one I can think of we've ever done. And yeah, we had a good time. But we were sitting at a table. It's very exclusive. There was probably a dozen people. And that's it. This table, and we all sat together and we got to know each other, so that was cool. But there was this one couple, and you'll know what I'm talking about when I talk about this couple, because there are people out there like this. No one in our church is like this, but these people were very, you know, well-to-do type people, very, you know, snobby, well-to-do, lots of money, and like they're having, I overhear conversations with other people and they're saying, oh, when you go to France you need to do this and that, and you need to do the gold class, because oh, you wouldn't want to do it any other way. And they're talking like this, you know. They just obviously live an opulent life and they're blessed. They didn't sound like believers, doesn't matter. But the point is they were very outward in displaying their wealthiness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they turned to us one time only at the table, and they were literally just, they weren't far away from us, so they weren't right there, and asked us one question, and said, oh, have you got children? So we wanted to brag on our kids. So we started bragging on our kids, but the minute we started talking, their attention just diverted and went off to something, because obviously the what we were explaining wasn't describing the kind of lifestyle that they assimilate with. And they all of a sudden showed no interest whatsoever. They were all about status and what you do and how you're dressed. And see, we weren't drinking at the table either. It's one of those things they bring a drink to match everyone. We're like, we're not having that. So they brought us, this was funny, they brought us mocktails. You know what they are? They're cocktails with no alcohol. So it's like just juice or blended, whatever. But they brought us those, and it made us look better. We were like, we're not going to tell them why we're having. Because they just at one point, a very opulent couple said, how come they're getting those kind of drinks like this? We didn't tell them there was no alcohol in it. We just thought, I'll string along a little bit. And I think we're But you get what I'm saying? The world is like that. Just like that couple. We measure ourselves a lot of the times the same way. You know, some of us feel important because of our position or what we do. Others feel invisible because our work maybe doesn't get applause. But Paul flips it all upside down in Colossians that we read before. Whatever you do, so that doesn't mean when you do the most important jobs or when you're showing off in front of everyone, or it doesn't say that. This says whatever you do. So whatever that is, do it heartily as to the Lord, because it matters to God, our attitude and our action, what we do. See, Paul says it's not about what you do, it's actually about who you do it for. So don't measure yourself on your job. Let's translate it to church life. You might not be the person up here speaking on the platform, but does that make the people up here on the platform any better than the person that's welcoming people as they come through the door, serving our kids ministry and leading down there in the kitchen right now, going crazy, getting amazing food for Malisha and her baby event after the church? Are they any less important? Of course not. But in our minds, sometimes we can go there. Oh, I'm just the kitchen person. Or I'm just the sound man, Russell. Or I'm just the welcome person. There's no justs. See, notice how radical this scripture is. Paul was speaking to slaves in the first century when he said this. People with no recognition, people with no freedom, no applause, no gratitude or thanks or anything like that. And yet he says, your work matters because you're serving Jesus in it. Come on, if a slave's daily grind can be holy ground unto God, then how much more can yours be? Every day, holy ground, divine appointment. God, you've got me here for a reason. Use me powerfully. See, imagine two people scrubbing a floor. One's doing it because it's their job, and they feel bitter about it. It's like, oh, it's a lousy floor. Just keep mopping the same floor. They keep messing it up. But the other is doing it and whispering, Lord, I'm serving you in this. It's the same task, but there's two different masters here. One is serving man, and the other is serving Christ. What's your attitude in what you do? You know, we've got a cleaning business, and Anita does a lot of cleaning in our community. And from day one, we took this approach. We decided, you know what? Cleaning is, you know, not the most glamorous of jobs, but what an opportunity to serve people. Yeah, they're paying us, but we're still, you know, giving up our time to do some cleaning and whatever. Can I tell you that we've been running, I don't know how long now, I forget, 3 years or more. From day one, we never had to pay for any advertising. Just did a little Facebook post. Hey, starting a cleaning business, is our availability. Within a week, we were too busy. Put on more people who, you know, work for us and invoice us. They're busy. We've always got too much work. And I put it down to our attitude in our business. We're not here, oh, I'm going to do this, to earn some money. No, we're doing it as an opportunity to be in people's homes that otherwise we wouldn't have connection with, because most of them aren't church-going people. And Anita gets to clean in their place and prophesy over them and pray over them. They don't know it yet, although some she has had an opportunity to pray with, which is awesome. She gets to clean My Family Medical. I don't know if you go to that doctor's surgery in town. But she's doing that every morning, Monday to Friday. And she, because there's no one there, she puts her little thingies in, AirPods, and she's just praying at the top of her lungs and praising and just loving God and prophesying over our town. How cool is that? And one time she was doing it, and she didn't know because she's got the things in. Someone came in early, and she got called out. Well, I think she was even, you know, going for it in tongues or whatever. And this person was, gave her this look. But anyway, that's okay. But Anita gets to do that. How cool is that? But it's because of our attitude. We're doing this unto the Lord. We're doing this to serve our community. Think about Jesus washing his disciples' feet in John 13. In human terms, that was the lowest task in the house at that time. But Jesus did it, and because he did it, the act became one of the most remembered things in history. Most of us know about Jesus washing his disciples' feet. See, it wasn't the task that gave it power, it was who was being served. The same is true for us. When you answer emails with integrity or text messages or messaging, whatever, when you answer people, when you parent with patience, how many parents need patience? Thank you, Jesus. But when you parent with patience, when you're studying with diligence, when you serve a customer or a client with honesty and integrity, you are serving Christ himself. And that changes everything in how you do what you do. If you have that mentality, that you are serving Christ. See, some of you, maybe you feel overlooked in your workplaces or even maybe here in the church, and you think, oh, my role doesn't matter. It's not so important. I'm just a mum at home. Oh, hello. I take my hat off to mums at home. I'm just a worker in a small business. I'm just a student. I'm just a retiree. Can I tell you something? Heaven doesn't see just. There are no justices, and I have to be careful how I say that because it sounds like you're saying justice, but there are no justices. I'm not just of this and I'm just of that. There's none of that in heaven. See, Jesus sees you. And your worth is not in your title. It's not in what you do. It's not in your degree or your pay packet, the job that you hold, but it's in the one whom you serve. His name is Jesus. That's where you draw your worth from. So whether you're leading a company or if you're leading your kids in prayer, whatever it is, before bed, your work matters. Your work matters. God doesn't see levels, titles, whatever. It is holy when it's surrendered to him. So don't measure your life by what's in your hand. Never do that. But measure it by who's in your heart. If you've got Christ in your heart, man, what a way to live life. All of a sudden the divine becomes miraculous. No more divide, but it's about the divine. Mondays to Saturdays, you can see God move powerfully when you surrender your life completely to him. Not just the God of Sundays, but the God of Mondays. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here's my third point, because there's lots of yummy food coming really soon, so we're going to get done. Daily grind is moving to divine ground. Let's be honest. Many of us have probably called the week maybe a bit of a grind. Oh, I'm going through a bit of a grind or a busy time. Pete asked at the start of his communion message, who's been busy lately? Pretty much everyone responded with their hands up. Life is busy. It's full. You wake up, you drink your coffee, you drive to wherever you've got to be. Maybe you work or you serve or you do whatever you're doing. Then you go home, then you have dinner, and then you go to bed. It can feel like a cycle of survival more than a life of significance sometimes. But here's the good news. See, when Jesus is Lord of not just Sundays, but when he's Lord of all your days, the daily grind is actually divine ground. Amen?
Amen.
We've read 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. I want you to think about that. Just think about that for a moment. That eating and drinking, the most basic, repetitive daily tasks, and yet Paul says even that can glorify God. like I said, we did a lot of glorifying God on the cruise, but anyway. If eating a sandwich can be divine, then so can your spreadsheets, your classroom, your shift work, your housework, whatever it is that you're doing Monday to Saturday, it can be divine too. What makes it divine isn't the task itself, but the presence of God on it. Amen? See, I think of Daniel. He's one of my favorite examples of this. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't a preacher. He was a government worker in a foreign land. And his job was full of politics, pressure, and compromise. But see, Daniel carried such excellence, such integrity, and such faith that even pagan kings noticed something different about Daniel. That's why they wanted him on their staff. The Bible says in Daniel 6, verse 3, Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. It's all about his attitude, all about the spirit. It was all about what he carried. He was one of those people that I'm trying to say we need to step into being. You step into a room and that people just notice something significant instantly. Daniel didn't just survive the grind of Babylon. He actually turned it into divine ground. And through him, kings heard about the living God. Don't you want to be someone that walks into a room and people can hear about the living God because of what you carry in your heart? See, maybe for you, divine ground is your office desk. Or maybe it's your toolbox if you're a tradie. Maybe it's your kitchen or your kitchen bench or wherever you prepare food or cook for people. Maybe it's the playroom with the kids at home. See, they are the very places that God wants to show up in. Not just here on a Sunday, but in those moments. You know, that Zoom call that you're dreading tomorrow if you've got a meeting, or that's divine ground, that staff meeting that you've got to lead or run that feels endless and is just such a drag, that's actually divine ground. That load of laundry that you've got to do, it's like that Mount Washmore that just never seems to decrease because laundry never ends. That is divine ground. The maths test that you've got to do, the customer complaint you've got to deal with, all these things are divine ground opportunities for you to step into and surrender them to God. You know, what if you started walking into your workplace tomorrow or into your home, where if you're home based, whatever it is, and what if you just declared, God, today this is my holy ground. This is holy ground. Not because it looks holy. Mount Washmore does not look holy. We've got one in our house. It's like this ever-growing beast. It doesn't look holy, but because you carry the Holy Spirit into it, come on. It can be your divine ground. What if instead of dragging yourself through the grind, you invited God to use you in the middle of it? And then suddenly the grind becomes mission, and the grind becomes ministry, and the grind becomes divine. What if we were a church where it was just normal for any one of us to walk into a situation and share the message of Jesus with someone and bring them to a point where we're ready to take them to a connect group or a Bible study or get them connected with some people? What if that was normal? How good would that be? We'd have to start up more connect groups in RE because we're going to fill them really quick. And trust me, that's what's going to be happening. But we'll get to that. But imagine if that was normal. Imagine if you walked into your week and it was very normal for the average family to meet one person and bring them along for connection. Once they're connected, then you can start. The word's incubating. I don't know if I like that word. It's probably more nurturing. Incubating sounds like you're in a, I don't know, whatever. But nurturing, yeah. You're nurturing and building relationship with that person before you even bring them to church. You know, traditionally it's been, oh, meet someone, invite them to church. Well, that's great, but sometimes coming to church, even in a church this size, can be a little overwhelming for people. But what if you were to take them to a connect group first and meet 6 to 10 people? Just in a comfortable, relaxed setting. Build relationship. Nurture the relationship. Bring them along to church. They hear the message of Jesus that you've been talking about in your connect group. So it's very familiar. They surrender their life to Christ, whether that's in the connect group or in church, that doesn't matter. whenever it happens organically. And then they go on this journey of learning about Jesus, and we have the privilege to disciple those people. What an incredible life that would be. Wouldn't that be exciting? Put your hand up if you, and I don't want to embarrass people, if you haven't, you don't be judged. Who's led someone to the Lord in your lifetime? Okay, a lot of hands. Do you remember the feeling you had when they said yes? It's just exciting, isn't it? It's just so, I don't think there's a feeling that the world can give you that matches that feeling. Because you just got to play a part in someone's eternity. Imagine if that became normal, as in it happened all the time. Imagine if everyone that you connected with, your main goal was to get them connected with some mates in church, some people, a group, whatever. It doesn't even need to be an official group. It can be so organic. Let's go and have dinner. Hey, I've got some friends, so-and-so. So, do you mind if I invite them too? Yeah, sure, no worries. Let's all just have a meal together. Imagine if that became normal. And instead of just living our lives through the grind of Monday to Saturday, imagine if it became normal for us to live a life that's pleasing to God, on mission, each and every day, because we realize and have a revelation that we are walking on divine purpose. Amen? Look, it's a unique opportunity to daily master the gospel through what we do. You don't even need to preach to people, but it's what you do. We don't just focus on the grind, but we focus on the gospel that we have to share. We think at every opportunity, God, how can you use me today to share the good news of Jesus? Instead of using your days to get through the grind, which we all love to do, get through all the tasks, tick all the boxes, but while we're doing that, instead of looking at it as a grind, look at it as divine, we can use our days to win souls and make disciples, just like Jesus commanded. So the grind doesn't drain you. It's the ground that God gave you. Did you catch that? The grind doesn't just drain you, because a mentality of a grind, oh, it's hard work, is it? It's the ground that God gave you. What are we going to do with it? Mondays matter to God. Church, I want you to hear me. If we will shift our perspective, and you know, there are people in our church that already have this perspective, so please don't feel judged or like I'm ignoring what you do. This is as a church as a whole. If we will shift our perspective, Mondays will no longer feel like a burden anymore or a grind, but they will become our battleground for breakthrough. Amen?
Amen.
Because when you step into the grind with God's Spirit in you, the ground beneath your feet becomes kingdom territory. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I want to pause in the message now. I'm going to bring this to a close. We're going to get around an amazing morning tea, celebrate Malisha and the coming baby. That's really exciting. But today we've heard the word. Now it's time for you to respond. See, if Mondays really do matter to God, if there's no divide between sacred and secular, if the grind really is divine ground, then that means your occupation, whatever makes you busy during the week, whatever it is, it's a holy calling. So right now, I actually want to commission each and every one of you, everyone that's online, everyone that watches this after the fact. So if you're a student, if you're a tradie, if you're working in healthcare, if you're a teacher, a business owner, hospitality workers, managers, carers, stay-at-home parents, I want everyone to stand. No matter what you do, even if I haven't mentioned what you do, literally I want everyone to stand, because we all have a Monday. I just don't necessarily know what yours is like. Stand if you're able. It's okay. Only if you can. We understand. Every person in this room has an assignment from God. It might not necessarily come with a pulpit that looks like this, but it comes with a purpose. Just look around the room for a moment. Stop looking at me and look around the room. Look at all the people in the room, all the different kinds, types, different cultures, different occupations that people have. You know what? This is the army of God.
Hallelujah.
It's not just on Sundays. It's on Mondays. You go to the farm and you pick and you do whatever you do. You're on mission. I'm sure there are workers that need to hear about Jesus that you're working with. And it's your job to share the good news, get them in the church, encourage them. This is what it looks like when the people of God carry His presence into every corner of society. So I want to speak a commissioning over you. You might want to close your eyes so that you can hone in on the words I'm about to speak. You may want to put your hands out or put them up if you're able to, or just surrender yourself, whatever that looks like for you. And I'm going to speak this over you right now. So I declare today that your classroom is a mission field. Your office is a pulpit. Your home is a discipleship center. Your toolbox, your laptop, your kitchen bench, whenever you find yourself at work, whatever you're doing from Monday to Saturday, that is all holy ground. You are not just employees. You are not just students. You're not just parents. You are ambassadors of Christ. You are ministers of reconciliation. And you are light in the darkness. So from this day forward, may you never see Monday as ordinary again. May you step into your Monday knowing that you are sent. Because Mondays matter to God, and your Mondays matter to the kingdom. So church, just I'm going to pray. Father, I thank you for every person here, for every occupation, every assignment, every hidden place of service, whatever it is people do. Right now I declare that every role is sacred when it is surrendered to you. And in this moment, Lord God, we surrender to you. I pray for students, fill their classrooms with your wisdom. I pray for tradies, let their hands build with integrity and excellence. I pray for healthcare workers, let their touch carry healing beyond medicine. I pray for teachers, let their words shape destinies. I pray for business owners, let their leadership bring justice and generosity to all. I pray for parents, let their homes resound with your presence, Lord God. Lord, we commission your people today as missionaries to their workplaces, their schools, their homes, their communities, and let their lives preach louder than their words. Let their Mondays carry the fragrance of heaven. We declare that the grind has become divine ground. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Give God praise and thank you. Now, this is really important. This is super important. Let's not let this end with a nice little prayer I just said. Tomorrow morning, when your feet hit the floor, I want you to pray three simple prayers at the start of the day, maybe at lunchtime, and maybe before you go to bed. And again, I'm not being religious about this, but I'd encourage you to do this. I want you to just say these simple words: Lord, I give you this day, use me. Say it with me now. Lord, I give you this day, use me. Come on, remember that. Jot it down if you're going to forget it, but remember it. Lord, I give you this day, use me. And when you gather in groups across the week, or whenever you gather, I want you to share your divine ground story. Because stories are going to start to flow when you step out in boldness. Don't think, oh, I'm not bold, I can't. No, God can use you, maybe not to reach hundreds, but maybe one. We can always talk to one person. Amen?
Yes.
And you're going to share stories when your feet hit the floor. I want you to pray that prayer and stuff's going to shift and happen. Because if you say it with sincerity and you mean it, and you'll incline your ear to His voice, He is going to use you. And He's going to get you to talk to people. And you're going to be uncomfortable. But the good thing is that the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. And He's going to comfort you in that uncomfort. He's going to give you the words to say. And He's going to encourage you. Come on, do you believe that?
Yes.
So when you gather, you're going to have stories. Maybe even by next Sunday, and we'll have some testimonies maybe. We're going to start having them flood in, because God's going to be turning Mondays into mission fields. Amen? So church, I believe God is shifting our culture. We're not just a Sunday church. We never have been, but I'm just preaching that message now. We're not just a Sunday church. We are a Monday movement. Amen?
Amen.
We are not just here to gather, but we're here to go. So from this day forward, all of us, our identity is clear. We are a soul-winning, disciple-making church. That's who we are. And we will not settle for being a crowd of people who just gather for events or for Sundays. But we are a community on mission. So let's declare this together. I'm going to get you to say this after me, a declaration. If you're in on this, because this might not suit everybody. Like I said last week, you never want anyone to leave your church. But the focus that we're bringing now about winning souls and making disciples is going to be so clear and evident. It's not just a little fad. This is now who we are. And some people might not like that. But I hope you all do, because it's God's command. Jesus said it, the last command before he left. Go into all the world, make disciples. You can't make disciples without first winning their soul. You win their soul, you make disciples. So I want you to say this after me. We are made for Mondays.
We are made for Mondays.
Come on, say it with conviction. No, we're not going to. Come on, you either mean it or you don't. If you don't, just don't say it. But if you mean it, say it with conviction. We are made for Mondays.
We are made for Mondays.
We are not Sunday spectators.
We are not Sunday spectators.
We are everyday disciples.
We are everyday disciples.
Our church is a soul-winning church.
Our church is a soul-winning church.
Our church is a disciple-making church.
Our church is a disciple-making church.
Every day is God's day.
Every day is God's day.
Every place is holy ground.
Every place is holy ground.
Every person is a missionary.
Every person is a missionary.
Mondays matter to God.
Mondays matter to God.
And so do we.
And so do we.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I just feel it's one of those line in the sand moments, and we've just crossed over, and there's no turning back. So, enjoy the journey, church. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to have morning tea. You're waving at me, and you want to say stuff. Okay, come on up. Do you need a microphone to say stuff?
Yeah.
Probably? Okay, all right. I have no idea what's going on, so let me just get rid of that, and we'll get you this. It's the green one, Russ. There you go.
Morning, everybody. Morning. So, as you know, we're having Alicia's baby shower following this moment.
We're finished. We're ready to start.
There is so much food, so please. Eat for days. We also have some traditional bridal shower, baby shower games. So if you can all just stick around, have fun, and enjoy the morning, that would be great.
Okay. Any instructions around how we eat, what we do? We just go out there and it's all there.
Just eat.
Yeah. Just eat. So Heavenly Father, bless the food to our bodies. We thank you for Malaysia and her coming baby. We're going to find out what it is really soon. But Lord, we just thank you that we can celebrate as a church family together. We understand Malaysia doesn't have family here. We are a family. And so may we have great joy and Lord, great blessing as we celebrate you and a new birth and all of those things. Bless Malaysia and Adrian, who can't be with us today. We think of him too. But we will send lots of photos and videos and show him what's going on. Bless this celebration, I pray. In Jesus' name. Everyone said,
Amen.
Amen. Go and eat and be merry. In Jesus' name.